once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
And Jack is not here tonight, but we'll talk to Randy Diller, village administrator, anyway. Rocker's here. How are we doing tonight, Rocker?
Hi, Neil. About said Jack.
Well, you're allowed to.
He's on assignment.
Kind of, yeah, assignment.
He's like Bill.
Yeah, probably on assignment for Cooper's.
Yeah.
Yep. And Randy Diller, welcome, Randy.
Thank you, Neil. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. It's always good to get some firsthand information on what's going on around town, and there's a lot of things you can definitely see and a few things that you don't really notice that are really important. I was going to say just as important, but I don't know. That this one's a biggie. Yeah. The Broadway Street and the Elm Street project is going to improve traffic flow from not real good, especially for semis, to not too bad. Yeah. And this is phase one of phase two or three or four.
Phase one of two. Yep.
Yep. And let's see. We had a levy that passed yesterday. Several things going on. There's some things going on with our ambulance district, stuff like that. The squad, and we'll get into all of that stuff, and we'll see how it all kind of goes. So we'll be back in just a little bit with more from Randy Diller. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu. Spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items or give us a call to get them to go.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Wendoline Sports Club will be hosting their fish and chicken fry this Friday from 4:30 to 7. It'll be carry out only this year, and you can just drive through and tell them if you want chicken or fish. The dinners are only $8 each, and all proceeds help with the upkeep of their great park. You don't want to miss the Wendoline Sports Club's Fall Fish and Chicken Fry this Friday from 4:30 to 7.
From 4:30 to 7. Got cut off. Not sure why. That's the Wendoline Fish and Chicken Fry. That should be a good one. They were going to have it as a buffet, but then with a little more of a COVID outbreak, I don't know if they decided or the health department decided it's going to be carryout, but it's still going to be great. It's always really, really good. So, again, we're here with Randy Diller, village administrator. And so we might as well jump into the highest profile thing first, that everybody's seeing, and a little bit of a problem for people getting around when they go to the post office, but definitely not anything that makes things terrible. So I guess start in with wherever you want to start and tell us all about it.
I'll give an update of where we're at and kind of go over some things we've probably talked about in the past. But obviously the big idea between the Broadway Elm Street project is to eventually make that the truck route.
Yep.
Hopefully the state highway, but if not, at least the truck route.
Yep.
And we have no reason to believe it won't be the state highway, but we don't control
it. Is there a person or a group of people that would decide from the state that the state is going to take that over?
Well, District 7 would send out their people and make that determination.
So it's probably not a political thing. It's actually...
Not so
50 years ago, I think those kind of things were political. And if you had ever made somebody mad, your project was shot down. And if you made them happy, they would do anything you asked.
I think they'll look at the same thing we look at, what makes sense. I mean, it's hard to believe out of a state agency maybe sometimes, but look at what makes sense.
They seem to be getting more logical than they used to.
You know, in this case, from the standpoint of truck flow through town, it's going to make such a huge difference.
Yes, it is.
That, you know, it only makes sense for everybody to do this. So, where we're at on the project is that we have completed the majority of the work on Broadway Street. All the underground is obviously done. We have the curbs, sidewalks, asphalt is done up to the top coat, which we won't be putting on until spring. So we're pretty well done with the infrastructure portion. They did do most of the rough end of the dirt work, finished that up today. And so they are basically done for this year on Broadway Street. You know, again, people need to remember that there still is another layer of asphalt that goes on there, so it doesn't look like a finished street at this point. It looks like a base coat, and that's what it is.
Is that delay because of weather? They're not sure they can put a great top coat on that?
There's a couple reasons, but the biggest reason is that we feel like we'll get a better job if we do all of it at the same time. So if we do
Elm Street extension,
Broadway and Elm at the same time.
Okay. Yep.
Blend together, especially on that intersection.
Yep.
Also, there's going to be a need to use that as a temporary truck route for local trucks for a few weeks, probably, while they finish up that block beside the monument, to the west side of the monument. We'll have to reroute trucks somewhere, local trucks. So they're going to go down Broadway to First and then back to the highway. So obviously, we realize that in the gist of doing that, we're likely going to have some damage on First Street that we'll have to repair after the project's over.
Yeah.
And those types of things. But we've built that all into the cost estimate and are ready to go forward with that when it's time.
Now, does First Street already have some problems that you're not taking a great street and ruining it?
There's nothing real big as a problem there now, but you know, obviously that turn on from First and Broadway is going to be an issue. And they're just going to have to be slow and careful about it, and we'll obviously monitor that, but that's the biggest reason. So anyway, if there is any issues with the street, which we don't anticipate the way it's built as a highway, that we could repair those before we put the top coat on next spring get that done. So that's the biggest reason. But one thing I do want to remind people is that, you know, if you're going down there and you're parking, say, along the bank or in front of the on the bank side there,
there
is going to be likely a little bit of a lip between the asphalt and the curb. Because the gutter is still higher, and that won't be the finished coat, obviously. When that's done, we'll be up above the gutter a little bit, like we are on all our streets. But there will be potentially a small trip hazard for the winter. But, you know, honestly, that area doesn't get used much for parking other than for Dr. Carr, and they're going the other direction.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the bank people that park there, that is employee parking. And they'll be familiar with that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't really get that way very much, but there's usually a handful of cars there.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with it right now. As we move into phase two, which will likely be in the spring, there's a potential that they could come in, depending on the weather this winter, and start doing some dirt work and maybe some underground work on the intersection that they don't have to close it. But it's more likely to be in the spring. They'll come in and get the Elm Street two blocks portion of it done, and then once that's done, we'll pave everything and then
open. So the two blocks you're talking about are from what everybody calls the blinker light that hasn't existed for a few years, that going straight north and then through what everybody considered an alley.
Right.
Which is now going to be the Elm Street.
Yes.
Because the other side of that Broadway is still called Elm Street, right? Straight through there. So
we're not going to get into the intersection of the highways with this project because we did wrap those curbs around the last time we did a project over there. So we don't have to get into that intersection. So it'll just be from the north side of that intersection over to Broadway that we have to do yet.
And now, is any of that going to be underground utilities?
The only underground work we have left to do is at the intersection of Boundary and Elm Street, which is, you know, on the northwest corner of the monument. And that is very limited. That's only some catch basins and stuff to accommodate.
So it's not going to be a huge underground project Broadway was.
Actually, the amount of underground that has to be done can be done easily in, you know, a week's time. And probably less, but so they'll have that done quickly, and they'll probably be doing that while they're tearing out everything else, getting ready for cutting the street down and getting it ready to asphalt and curb. So it should go fairly quickly. I mean, obviously, weather in the spring is always a factor. You know, during this project, they couldn't have asked for better weather till, you know, last week maybe.
Yeah.
So it went really well, and PAB Construction out of Coldwater's the contractor on both phases, so they'll be
back. Is that somebody we've had do other projects?
Not for a long time. People may not remember PAB, but they were the one that actually did the downtown revitalization portion and North Wayne Street. Down here, the latest project they did for us was they did the parking lot project in Community Park, to the north of Diamond One. And they do great work. They're good guys to work with, and we've had no problems with them at all. Things are going along pretty well. They worked with the neighbors very well. And
they did the Broadway, and they're also going to do the Elm Street. Good.
Yep. So finished project looks to be sometime in June of 2021, unless the weather's better and they get to it faster, you know.
Or it's worse. And
like so,
2 or 3 years ago, we had a terrible spring where nobody could get anything done. And
And obviously, the street on Broadway is wider than it used to be.
Yeah.
And I know there was a discussion item about, you know, pulling into people's yards and stuff, but I think most people realize, certainly the people that live in town should realize that there's a street right-of-way in front of them, and most times that street right-of-way reaches behind the sidewalk to the house side of the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Broadway Street, that was, by name, the widest street we had in town as far as right-of-way. We had actually 80-foot of right-of-way there, and we normally have 66 is a normal old street, 50 is the new one. So
it's really, really wide.
Now, we didn't use it all.
Yeah.
We didn't use, I mean, there's still plenty there, but we did widen out and use more of the right-of-way than we had.
Previously, you know, there wasn't, people didn't need to park in a lot of that place, so there wasn't any real reason to make it wide enough for people to park. Could have used sidewalks a few years ago, but that, you know, when we know something's coming up, you don't just slap sidewalks in and then tear them all out and start again.
That's a good point you make there. I will tell people that are going down Broadway Street to be aware that there has been stop signs added at the upcoming Elm Street intersection.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
So there is,
I don't think I've driven down there,
both directions, and obviously it's not needed right now.
Yeah.
It's not in, but what we're trying to do is get it out there now so people get a little bit used to it.
Yep.
We're down there, you know, off and on during the day, and you know, maybe one in five people stop at it because they just aren't paying attention to and aren't used to there being a stop sign there.
Yeah, so there never was. So
right now it's not quite as critical.
Right.
And I'm sure the police department will be pretty forgiving, but it's something people need to start getting used
to. About the fourth or fifth time they catch you, they'll probably write you a ticket.
Maybe.
Yeah. Probably so, the second.
I mean, obviously we want to get them used to it just simply because when the traffic does start flowing through there from Elm Street, they don't have to stop going north.
Yeah.
So there's potential for some accidents if we're not.
Yeah.
And we'll likely light those up and try to bring attention to them better when we get to that point.
Yep. And, you know, I know they, when we put the stop signs down the first stop signs on South Wayne Street. I can't remember. Is that Center Street where the condominiums are? When we first put the stop sign in, because before that there wasn't a stop sign from the stoplight clear out of town, right. Put that in, and I know people were running that like crazy because they had no idea it was there, never been there. But
any change takes a little while.
Yeah, it took a little bit, and wasn't any problems really. But and I think the police department was kind of forgiving there. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know we had one. Yep, there it is. Okay, I won't do that anymore, and I think that was sufficient for that. So sidewalks all the way up and down both sides of Broadway, yeah. Correct?
Well, and that's a really nice improvement for the people in those neighborhoods to be able to, yeah. Specifically, you know, the people from the trailer court can walk uptown now and not have to walk on the street.
Yeah.
And they can use the sidewalks. They are, our new standard is likely going to be 5 foot wide sidewalks, which is what we put on the street.
That's pretty good size sidewalk.
It does make a difference. It does make a huge difference.
Yeah. So, like, I think in front of my house when we did the...
Those were four.
The new ones are four?
Those are four.
I think previously it had been 2.5 or 3, which seemed okay. Yeah. But until you get a 4 foot and you think, where have these been? this is how it should have been.
And that'll come into play on some streets where we just don't have that much right away. But yeah. Or we have to end up making the curb one smaller, you know. And then you get complaints about if it's any less than 4 feet, then it's kind of just a mess, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll play that by ear as we go through, but that's kind of going to be our standard. And if you walk down a 5 foot wide sidewalk, you'll understand why they are nice, because you can walk side by side.
Yep.
And that seems to be the biggest issue we have with all the walkers in town is that they want to talk while they walk, so they're side by side and they can't walk down a 4 foot necessarily without bumping into each other.
You can, and it's a lot easier than it used to be with the 3 foot or whatever it was. But you know, when those 3 foot were poured, people only walked because they had to. Now people walk because they want to, and there's lots and lots of people that are going around town. The sidewalk things.
One other thing that is still coming on the Broadway project is there will be new street lights all the way down it. The bases are in. The wiring's been pulled. We're just waiting on the delivery of the actual poles and fixtures. Once those are in, we'll go ahead and get those up. Yeah, this year, I'm sure.
And those will be the ones similar to the rest of them in town.
Yeah, it'll be whatever's around town. And so we'll be getting those up this year, hopefully. And that'll also extend all the way to the intersection of the highways when we're done. And Helm Street will have the same. So,
yep, that'll be good.
Yep.
So let's just real quick. There was a levy on the ballot yesterday, passed 2-1, like it always does. Just explain what that is, what it does, what it's always done.
Yeah, the levy that was up this year was a 2.5 mil general expense levy, and that's a general expense levy. That means the money goes into the general fund, and that is where we take all of our safety out of, which would be street lighting, police department, in the past EMS funding. Those types of things come out of those funds, and that's what we've always targeted these monies for. It'll generate a little over $60,000 a year for the village, which doesn't pay for all those things, but certainly helps offset the cost.
$60,000 we didn't have.
Yeah, so that levy has been on the books for, I've been with the village 26 years, and it was on before I started. So it's been on the books for a number of years, and we seem to get great support, and we certainly appreciate that. We think that we've made a lot of improvements when it comes to safety around town, whether it be street lighting, whether it be sidewalks. We got a ways to go. I'm not kidding myself, but we're working on those things. So.
Yeah, and one thing I've had several people make mention of, I can't remember who was here and talked last week, said, are you going to vote for the levy? Well, yeah. Well, isn't it just... taxes? Well, yeah. And it's important that we spend money on some things. And Well, it's just going to get wasted. No, our people, the school, the probably every school in this area, every municipality, every township in this area, every county in this area is really very conscientious about how they spend the money.
Yeah, it's just we're from a conservative area. That's no question. That's our values, and that's what we live by.
And it just really helps when you know that when you're paying it in, it's not just being blown on this, that, and the other thing that doesn't really have a value. It's just trying to make things pretty or trying to pad a resume so the mayor can go on and be a county commissioner or something.
The levies that we run, there's a lot of ways you can run levies. You can run them as a replacement levy or renewal levy. We run ours as renewals, meaning that as property assessments go up, if you rent it as a replacement, it would be based on the new values. So you would get more money. You'd continually make more money. We've been running ours as renewals, getting that same $60,000 for a number of years. We're not adding any money than what they're paying right now.
So it's not prorated in the right word.
It actually rolls back because their value goes up, so they get a rollback on their taxes to get to that amount that we need to collect to get our $60,000. So even though we're passing a 2.5 mil levy, we're not actually collecting a 2.5 mil based on today's values.
That's pretty good. And that's probably one of the reasons that people just keep on voting for them, because they know they're not just seeing, the town's not trying to see how much money we can get. No. That's not the thing.
No, we're trying to be. Obviously, right now is a time to be very conservative, just so we understand where we're at with things. But that's always kind of been our nature. We understand you have to spend money to get things done, so we're not going to hoard it and put it back for a rainy day. But we have a decent balance in our fund to take care of emergencies and bad years.
Yeah.
And
So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back and talk some more with Village Administrator Randy Diller. Back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
With power and versatility, the Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort, and your choice of a 30x15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. The M7 tractor. Built right, built ready. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
It's time to eat, and you don't have time to make supper. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. Everybody can get what they want, whether it's their great sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, or their awesome pizza. Just call them and they'll get it ready for you, then just drive through and pick it up. And it's time to start thinking about reserving lanes for a holiday get-together or birthday party. And don't forget their awesome pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. They open at 3 Monday through Thursday and 11 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Be sure to put their phone number in your phone so you can call them with one touch. 375-4274. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun.
There's still a select number of raffle tickets remaining to purchase for the 2021 Win on Wabash Super Raffle. The raffle will occur August 27th and 28th, 2021 in Fort Recovery and will feature 211 prizes valued at $650,000, including 3 vehicles, 8 trips, 50 firearms, golf carts, ATVs, a camper, a boat, and other cash and prizes. Check out our website, wowraffle.com, or our Facebook page at Wow Raffle for the complete list of businesses businesses that are selling tickets or purchase directly through our website. Don't miss out on the opportunity to win some awesome prizes at the 2021 Win on the Wabash. Get your tickets now.
We're back. Insight. We're speaking with Randy Diller, Village Administrator. So the Mercer County, Southern Mercer County Ambulance District, how is that different from our EMS that we have going on now that's the building in St. Henry and this, that, and the other? How is it different? It's exactly the same, only completely different?
You know, currently our EMS service is taken care of by the county through their EMS agency. They have an EMS director over there, and they have an agency that is self-funded, more or less. It's paid for by fees that come from the calls they go out on, and also a per capita fee that is charged to each jurisdiction. So the Village of Fort Recovery pays a per capita fee every year to that agency to help fund that. And people say, you know, wasn't that working? Well, yeah, it's worked really great for a lot of years, and we appreciate that the commissioners who did not have to do that were willing to take that on years and years ago and set that up, and it made it very cost-effective for communities like Fort Recovery to have good EMS service. Now, you know, the level of our service is probably more related to the level of the people that are working in our volunteers, and that's, you know, the people from St. Henry and Fort Recovery that we see, that are squad members, first responders. The issues that have come up, the reason why this change was looked at was because it is well, they're having trouble keeping any volunteers because it was a totally volunteer basis. Yeah. So you can imagine the amount of hours and training and things that they have to do this. And that's an awful lot to ask of somebody in today's world.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, they were looking at how can they encourage people to stay involved with the squad. And, you know, that their talk was, can we pay an on-call rate? So you're on call for 7 days with our squads. So for that week, they're on call. And then they're off for a couple of weeks, and then they're back. So during that week that they're on call, they'll get a stipend for all those hours, and they'll get a little extra like they do now for the runs that they go on. But that's such a small amount. And by doing that, they think that they can at least keep the level they have, and it sounds like they've encouraged a few people to join already that have heard about this. That's what they're doing. They brought this idea to the county and said, can we do something like this? Well, the county wasn't ready to go to that type of a setup because that means a lot more employees for them.
Yeah.
And they just weren't ready to do that. So the discussion was to form our own Southern Mercer County District for ambulance services. And what that'll do is that'll encompass Gibson Recovery, Granville, and Marion Townships, and then the villages of Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Chickasaw, and Burkittsville. So there's eight different jurisdictions in there, and we will go together and have a ambulance district. Now, that is what Squad 3 covers right now. We're not adding or losing any area to what they cover. It's just that's the area they have, minus a little bit in Marion that actually goes to Osgood Squad.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
But so they're going to keep that same area. The difference will be is that it'll actually be operated out of the St. Henry Squad House. They won't be through the Mercer County EMS agency. It'll be through them, and they'll
so like administered through there. Is that what you're saying?
Everything will be done right through there. The billings for the runs, everything will be done through the squad in St. Henry. Obviously, it's going to cost some money to do that. And the question is, you know, where's that money going to come from? Well, by forming the district, similar to what we have with the Southwest Mercer Fire District and what they have with the South Central Fire District in St. Henry, is that those entities can put a levy on for their purposes. So you will likely see a levy go on the ballot next spring, and it won't be a very big one. It'll probably be in a half percent to 1% levy.
Now, is that property tax?
Property tax.
Okay.
For the purpose of funding this on-call pay so they can try to keep people involved. You know, the from the village's perspective, you know, the county is not responsible to have provide EMS services. It actually, by higher vice code, falls back on the townships. Well, we all know how townships in rural townships are funded in Ohio very poorly. So it's almost impossible for them unless they have a lot of industry and different things to help fund them. It's hard for them to come up with any kind of money to fund an ambulance district. So the same thing would be hold true for us. I mean, if we had to run one, we'd have to have a squad, house squad. We'd have to have volunteers or paid people. From our perspective, this is the best way to go because they can help control their own costs. They're not doing this to try to make money. They're doing this to try to keep interest. And, you know, from my perspective as an individual, if I call 911 and need a squad, I don't want to guess what's going to happen. I want to know what's going to happen. And we have had that luxury for a lot of years.
Yes.
And we hope that that's what continues, that great service that we've always gotten out of Squad 3 and with our first responders in Fort Recovery, who are great people and have done it, some of them for years.
Yes.
And are very committed to that, and we need to be appreciative of that, and we hope that that continues. But that's the idea behind this district, is that we can control it a little bit better by it just being the southern Mercer County portion, and we already have a great squad house that was paid by the donations from the public, and the county's been very willing to work with the squad to do this. I mean, it's obviously not their first method of doing it, but they understand the issues that they're facing, and they've been very supportive by passing on some of the equipment that actually belongs to the county to this squad, and supporting that the way that it's going to get off the ground. So that looks to make the change on January 1st of 2021 is the actual change from county EMS to Southern Mercer County Ambulance District. So from the normal outlook, you won't see anything different. You call 911, the squad will be dispatched from St. Henry, and it will be here. So it'll look the same, but again, I think the idea is that, you know, it's we're not in the same world we were 20 years ago. We're not getting those volunteers. We're not getting those people to step up. And then when we start losing them, and you have to have paid people like the Salina does, then you start talking a lot of money. Then you start talking about
a lot
of levies.
Yes. And it's nice to have that. And if we had 10,000 people in town or in a in a smaller area, maybe that makes sense. But you know, I don't know how many people are in this townships, but it's a decent amount of people.
The good thing about a district is similar to our fire district. Our fire district covers the townships around here. So they have a representative on the board that covers the village. We have a representative on the board. They have an at-large member on the board. The ambulance district will work very similar, where the villages all have a member on that board. The townships will all have a member on that board. Those will be the people that will actually be making the decisions. So it'll be local control making decisions for their constituents, and that's a good way to do it. And we have obviously benefited and seen the benefits of having a fire district in Fort Recovery. I mean, it's just, you know, we have a fire district. And again, it comes back to the people, but because they do such a good job and they're so committed, they get the support they need. They get the equipment they need. They got the building. You know, we've got a great setup here, and it's a result of the support they get because they've earned it. So,
yeah. And now, just one thing that popped into my head, a question. There's four townships that are going to be involved in this. What if two of them pass the levy or a renewal in 2 or 5 or 15 years and the other ones don't? Is it just a matter of a total in those four, or
it's voted on as a area? So, you know, the total vote. So if we would carry it by 100% and they'd only get 48% someplace else.
Okay.
You know, it's gonna carry.
So then two of them wouldn't have to drop out if they didn't pass it. It's just
It just needs to pass by majority vote for those
for the total of the four townships. Yep. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. So let's take another break here, and we'll be back and talk a little bit more with Randy Diller about what all is going on in town and around and all over the place. Back in just a minute.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel at Fort Recovery Insurance. Every year, you should review your insurance plans to make sure you have the right protection for your needs. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we'll take you inside our fort to make sure you're paying the right price for the right insurance to protect you. For years, we've been doing just that, and it's time for us to help you too. At Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we've got something for everyone, and we've got something for you too. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4848.
Here are just a few of the great specials at Wayne Street Market now through November 5th. Jell-O and Jell-O pudding are just $1.25 each, and Jell-O snack packs are just 99 cents. Do you have a birthday party coming up? How about a homemade cake? Most Pillsbury, Duncan Hines, and Best Choice cake mixes are on sale, and their cans of ready-to-go frosting are also on sale. In their freezer, Jack's Pizzas are just $3.39, and Tombstone Pizzas are just $3.99. And Smart One Dinners are only $1.99 each. And if you're in a hurry, they have great meal specials ready to go every day at their deli. No need to go out of town to save money. They have great prices and great selection at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Our schools will be open to the public for winter walking hours through the end of March. The hours will be Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. At the elementary middle school, please use the middle school entrance and walk only in the main street hall. At the high school, please use the commons entrance. Other walking options in our community are the track at the football field, which will be available most days, and the Paul Stogler walking trail at the community park.
We're back. That was a very short little promo about the walking hours and at the school, and you can go to the track and the Paul Stogler trail and all that. So sorry if you heard us jibber jabbering there for a second or two. Anyway, we're here with Randy Diller. We've talked about the Broadway Street project. We've talked about the ambulance district, a few other things. So what else do we want to point out to people that are what's going on
and what's going to go on? Let's do a quick recap of 2020, which has been an interesting year to say the least. And we've gotten some things done. We finished up the aeration project out at the lagoons, which is we see some good things happening there. We've done a few water plant improvements. People probably noticed all the fire hydrants around town got painted, which is has to be done every now and then. But we're also working on some other mods and ends there at the plant to, our idea being that, that plant will be 40 years old here in a few years.
No, it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, we're trying to do our best to make it as efficient and as it can be to produce the water that we expect. So we're getting the guys that were doing that, Mitch and Ryan, they're doing a great job. And we're saying that we should be able to get another 15 years out of this plant anyway, which for a life of a water plant, 50 to 55 years is a long time. Well, for life of anything,
yeah,
it's a long time.
But, yeah,
and obviously there's technology that's changed, and those are things we'll be looking at as we go forward, and we'll be planning accordingly. We'll be setting money aside over the next 15 years to basically be ready when that needs to happen. So park, we're always working on things in the parks. This last year we did get the lights installed on Diamond 3, which was a nice improvement for the parks. They now can play on two different diamonds at that park later at night, and that helps with their scheduling. We did install vinyl sides for the two shelter houses down in Community Park also. One of them had it on. We replaced them and added them to the other one. So, and
that's the roll-down. That's the roll-down side that you can...
Right. Yep.
If it gets windy or rainy, you can just roll them down.
Yep. Yeah, and it helps with wind more than anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what they're there for. We did some upgrades to the structures, too, with soffit and fascia and different things, and it's dressed them up, and they're looking good. We actually added some additional lighting around the rec trail early this last year, too, so that's been in place. One other note that I do want to make is that, you know, the village has had the advantage of having the FRISO group over the last 6 years now, I think, or 7 years, whatever it is. And we need to give them a pat on the back for making this year happen for the kids, because it was a tough year to figure out how you could do things and how are we going to do it. And, you know, while some of the younger kids didn't get to play as much, they did do a great job of getting the kids out there and did it in a relatively safe way. So we didn't have any real issues, and I really appreciate the effort that they had to put in to make that happen.
And when they were trying to get things organized was when the directives from the state were changing three times a day. So, you know, they'd figure something out, and then they weren't allowed to do it.
We announced we're not going to have it, and then the next week we're allowed to have it, so we came back. But that's happened with other things, too, so part of it. And one other big project that did happen this year was we completed the expansion of the utilities out to the new Cooper site north of town. And that has been completed. Their water and sanitary has been extended up there. They actually have on site their fueling station up and running with plans to put some buildings up this coming year. So that's a great improvement for the village, and we're glad they stayed here in the village of Fort Recovery with those improvements.
Yeah, and actually had the town get stuff out there and incorporate that land.
Well, we have incorporated where Cooper's is at. That has been annexed.
Yeah.
But everything in between there, that's, you know, that's as needed. You know, we're not pushing anybody in. We're not doing that. But
Now, we're connected through the J&M lot.
Right. So I connected from J&M. So that's been completed, and we're happy about that. I guess the big issue in 2020 has been COVID, and I guess we'll just talk just briefly about where the village has been at with that and where we're going. You know, we were able to secure some funding from the state. We actually got three different disbursements, totaled about $111,000 that came to the village for recovery. Mm-hmm. The restrictions on what the village could spend it on were very, very limited. It had to be COVID-related, strictly COVID-related, and not lost income, not expenses outside of that. Couldn't be for anything that you had already budgeted. So there was a lot of restrictions. So we were running out of ways to get that money spent, because if we didn't spend it, we had to send it back, which meant that they would have reapportioned that to other communities that were in need of it. So it wasn't like I've told people, said, well, send it back. We don't need it. We don't need to keep raising the budget and the deficits. And I said, well, I would do that if I thought that they would take it and put it on the debt. But they're not. They're going to take it and they're going to spend it somewhere else.
Yeah, they will spend it somewhere.
So we worked hard to do some things. And you've probably read that we put the small business relief fund out there. We offered grants to the small businesses, and they had to show a loss of revenue based off of the COVID months and had to have expenses that covered that amount of money. So that's went really well. We've actually dispersed 11 different ones to businesses here in town. We have another one that finished up the paperwork today, so they'll be getting their money. So I'm working with two others. The deadline has passed. We don't have any additional funds to appropriate for that. So I've had some inquiries over the last week about whether they could still get involved, and unfortunately, at this point, no. Unless we would get additional funds, we're pretty much appropriated out. So we're happy to do that. How has COVID mostly affected the village? And that is just taking a very conservative approach to our spending for a while here. We cut some things out this year, and we're going to be very conservative next year. From a revenue standpoint, you know, I can happily say that the village hasn't seen a big hit. Our businesses have stayed fairly busy, for the year. Just as an example, for the year to date, we're actually up on income tax collections over last year. Hmm. From April till now, we're down a little bit. So, we're going to continue to monitor that and be conservative in our approach until we realize where this is actually heading. So,
yep.
That's 2020 in a nutshell.
So what's coming up 2021?
2021, obviously, the big thing will be to finish the Broadway Elm Street. We'll have some more water plant improvements we're doing. We are working currently on a GIS system, and people always ask me, what's GIS stand for? It's a geographical informational system. That'll be a digital. You knew that, Bubba?
Yeah.
Okay. It's based off of GPS. You know what that stands for?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Global positioning.
Oh, you got it. So we actually go out and physically locate every part of our utility system. So every shutoff box, every fire hydrant, every manhole, everything. And it's put on a digital map that we can access off of a tablet. So when we're looking for something or when we got to maintain something, we can pull that item up and say, that hasn't been turned for 3 years. We need to turn that valve, or that valve's a 1968. I think it's probably something we ought to look at replacing. And that'll all be at our fingertips as opposed to digging through records.
Yeah.
And trying to find Elmer to find out if he remembers.
Yeah, or drive back to the town hall and root through the books, so, or even get on the computer.
We'll be wrapping that up probably early, mid next year, so we'll have that available. We have some few park improvements we'll be planning. Nothing real big right now. Down the road, we do anticipate looking at a pool improvement project. Probably not going to happen in 2021, but we're kind of targeting 2022 for that funding just because of the nature of the funding that's out there that can be spent on that type of a thing. We would be able to get more by 2022. So that improvement would be yet to be determined as far as what we actually do, but it'll be a total overhaul of the pool. It won't be replacing it, obviously, but trying to make it, again, it's going to be 40 years old here in a few years.
That can't be,
and it won't be a St. Henry. It won't be a complete rebuild. It'll be something that we can put in our budget.
Yeah, I mean, we'll make it look nice, and we'll add some amenities such as splash pads, and we got to do a zero entry where you can walk in down a ramp as opposed to climbing a ladder. So those types of things we'll be looking at. That's coming up. We are working, as Neil knows, we are working right now on a zoning ordinance update for the village, being part of the Planning Commission.
I know where my book is. I haven't opened it much.
we're not looking at a overhaul. We're looking at things we need to improve or update. So we're not going to rewrite the zoning code. We're just going to update it a little bit.
Some of it that I've seen, some of the places that you've noted that at least we need to look at are things that I don't remember what it was. There's one of them that is talking about something that didn't exist 10 years ago, 12 years ago, so you couldn't address it because there wasn't anything to address because it didn't even exist. So,
and that's kind of what happens with zoning. Is we're looking like we went back and looked. We've done it about every 11 years the last two times. So we're on 11 years right now. It's passed in 2009. So it's just time for an update. And nothing, like I said, nothing major, but you want it to be current. You want it to be reflect what the standards are of the community. And so that's what we're trying to do. Going back to the park for a second, the pavilion. This was really the first full year we had it up and running.
Yep.
Obviously, we had an awful lot of cancellations on it, unfortunately, due to the COVID. There was a period where we weren't allowed to use it.
Yeah, people just weren't, you can pay us the rent, you can't go.
Here in the last 2 months, rentals have picked up pretty heavily, and we're starting to see some bookings for next year. So, it's a great facility, so if anybody's looking for something like that, reach out to the town hall and get your date reserved, because who knows how fast they'll fill up. People are going to want to party next year, I think, if we can. Yep. So,
and that's as nice a place as there is.
I agree.
The other thing that we're obviously always looking at, but it's becoming more important right now, is some industrial park expansion capabilities. Mm-hmm. You know, the industrial parks here have been a big benefit to the community.
Yes.
In ways that most people don't think, but, you know, we spent money to develop industrial parks, but that has been turned back to us tenfold in the income tax collections and the job availability for residents, and just everything that's happened has been really great, and so we're looking at continuing that. We don't want to get behind the eight ball, so we'll be looking at some possibilities here in the next few years. Down the road, we can see that there's going to be the need for the second water tower.
We just tore the other one down. Why didn't we keep it?
We had problems with that one, besides age, and the fact that it was lower than the other one. So we had problems, but we'll build one on the north end of town somewhere, and that'll give us one north, south, and then the water plant will be the middle. So when the pumps are on, we'll have pretty good pressure throughout. But right now, we don't need it because we don't have the usage. You know, EPA wants us to keep 2 days of usage in storage at all times. If we would build another one, we'd have about 4 days, and then it starts...
Yeah,
you want to turn it over faster than that. So.
What kind of money with a water? Do you remember what the water tower cost?
The last one?
Yeah,
the last one was built right around 2000, and it cost about with everything probably about $400,000. That same water tower today,
million,
right at $1 million.
That was going to be my guess on the other one.
Yeah. So some of the things that'll play into that as far as final cost will be how high we have to build it. You know, obviously our intention will be that the overflow will be exactly the same height as the overflow in the industrial park. So if we can be higher someplace than the industrial park, then we don't have to build as tall a tower. Then it cuts the cost down.
How much does it cost to upkeep it?
What's that?
How much does it cost to upkeep the one we got?
The upkeep on it, what's it cost?
To keep it?
The upkeep? Do we have to do anything to it?
The type that we
built. Every 10 years we paint it?
The type we built doesn't have a lot. We actually haven't had to paint the outside yet. We built it. We will here in the next few years, but we have painted the inside. We had to recoat the inside a couple years back, but that should last us another 15 to 20 years now. We went with a better system this time. But they're not expensive to operate at all. I mean... Really, the operations of a water system are based off of pressure, and that pressure is caused by having it up in the air. So you put water in the air, and then it creates pressure.
Let's take a little break. We'll get a rocker rant, and then we'll get a wrap-up from Randy, and then we'll get on to Sports Talk. Bub and Fee will be here. Be back in just a minute.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Our Lady Indians are 21-3, ranked fourth in the state, and will be playing in the Elida Regional Volleyball Tournament tomorrow evening at 5:30 versus number 2 ranked and undefeated Tiffin Calvert. It will be another hard-fought match as the opponents get tougher and tougher as the tournament moves on. If our ladies win tomorrow night, they'll play again on Saturday at Elida at 2 o'clock in the regional finals against the winner of tomorrow night's late game at Elida between Lipsick and Pioneer North Central, each with only 3 losses on the season. We'll be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of the match with Rob Weaver. There will be no live video of the match, but WOSN will broadcast the replay at 7 p.m. on Friday and a couple of more times over the weekend. Check your listings. You can follow Our Lady Indians as they continue their quest for a state championship right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Okay, we're back here on Insight. So, Rocker, what do you, Rocker, you got a rant?
Okay, Monday night.
Monday night, okay. Monday,
I'm watching the news, and this lunatic comes on.
Was it Trump?
Turns out it was the Pennsylvania Attorney General.
Oh.
Who claims, well, we already got Pennsylvania declared for Biden. I'm thinking,
what news were you watching?
Well, it was on.
Was it on Fox? CNN?
Fox.
CBS?
Fox is what I usually watch.
Oh. The only thing is about that, it's just like if you ask Randy, is our volleyball team going to win? And he's going to say, yeah. What's he going to say? No?
Yeah.
So if you ask the Democratic Attorney General who's going to win Pennsylvania, well, we're going to win Pennsylvania. But.
Or if you ask CNN reporter or compared to Fox reporter.
I mean, you can't win. You absolutely can't win. There's.
I told my wife we were watching, she was watching MSNBC when I came home tonight. I said, and they had the numbers up there. I said, flip it over to Fox and see what their numbers are. They're not the same. They're not the same.
Yeah. So how much more ranch you got there, Rocker? We interrupted you. My fault.
Well, and the thing is, of course, then you see all the numbers come in Tuesday night and you're thinking, okay, this is getting low. It's almost a reminder of 2016 up to a certain point. And then it started drifting over into, well, okay, Biden's about six points away from being the new pilot of Air Force One. And how scary is that idea? Then we got, you know, the old chocolate one. She's going to be vice president.
I can't say that.
Well, I'm afraid he just did.
Could be a lot worse.
Could be better. But anyway, go ahead.
I doubt if they're listening. The only way they find this is by accident. It's like my dad always said, Randy, for the love of God, Russia's not going to bomb us. The only way they're going to bomb us is by accident.
There's been accidents before.
Well, luckily we never got bombed.
Yep, not yet.
Well, stuff, you know,
it says fort. They just start bombing every place with a fort. Could be dead.
Yep. You'd be first one down, too.
He definitely would have been if he lived in the in the other house, but he's still close enough.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yep, they bombed the fort. And now, we're pretty close right here, too.
Because they'll come this way, Fort Carey, and they'll go hit Fort Wayne, Fort Laramie.
We might be in a line of fire.
So you're in trouble.
Yep.
See ya.
Well, if I got to go down, I might as well go down with my friends.
I'm in.
So, what are you going to do if Biden's president?
Well, probably not much any more different than
he did.
Yeah.
Trump was president.
Probably, you know, just hope to God we can have a jubilee and a wow next year. That's our biggest worries.
I think we'll be able to pull that off.
Well, let's hope so.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Trump's vaccine is coming before the end of the year. See?
Okay.
Yeah. Before the end of the year. Of course, there won't be but about a dozen doses, but by spring, everybody will have it. But most of the Democrats said they're not going to take it because it's being rushed. So they can all die, and then it'll be Republicans
again.
You
don't mean that. We'll all get along.
As Rodney King once said before he got beat to death.
He never died.
No, it was after he got beat up.
Yeah.
Let's all just get along.
Yeah.
So we've had Randy Diller on talking about stuff around town. You want to recap real quick the things we've
just
covered real quick?
A couple things I'll add to wrap up is some of the operational things we do. We're obviously out picking up leaves practically every day right now.
Oh, yep.
Curbside. It's okay to put them in the street, on the edge of the street, not in the middle of the street.
Keep them out of the street.
Yeah, we started out thinking that we'd run into trouble with catch basins, but we collect them so often now that, and we also have the equipment now that we clean the catch basins twice a year, so we don't have the issue. So it's actually easier for my guys to get them out of the gutter than it is off the curb lawn. So if you put them in the gutter, that's fine. We'll be doing that until the week after Thanksgiving is usually when we wrap that up. And that's kind of weather dependent because we use the same truck to plow snow that we use to gather leaves. So
if you do both.
Have to start plowing snow, it'll be earlier. So we like to have things prepped for winter by that first week in December. So
I miss the good old days when you can burn leaves.
Yeah, because, you know, neighbor has their clothes hanging out on the line. That makes it really nice for them.
Well, caught them napping.
No burning. Burning's out, Rocker.
No burning.
That's right. EPA banned that.
Yep.
Last brush pickup for the year will be also the week after, the Monday after Thanksgiving. Again, unless there's snow on the ground. But
so that'll be the last Monday of November instead of the first Monday of the month.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
It'll be the first Monday of December.
Okay, so it'll be about the 7th or so. Yep. Okay.
And we'll probably play that about a year, but
yeah.
Then we won't do it in January, February, probably not March. Pick it back up in April. So the only other date that's out there that I would remind people of, and you've probably been announcing it regularly on your radio station, but there is the Merchants Christmas Open House is coming up, and they expanded that to
Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
But
there's two of those days. We're gonna be down in Vandalia at the state semifinals and state finals of volleyball.
There you go.
So
that'd be all right too. That'd be all right.
I think one of them's afternoon games. We can be back in time for the
just a reminder to people that it is important to support these local businesses because they've had a tough year and a lot of them have.
Yes,
We need them. We need them to make our town what it is. So.
Yeah, we basically have zero empty storefronts. Mm-hmm. People wanting them, so
it's always been our catch-22. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. I can't put somebody in a storefront if I don't have one available. But at the same time, I kind of like not having one available. So
yep. So been Insight. We'll be back in a minute or two with Bubba and Fee Sports Talk. Back in a minute.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.